إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، verily all praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is due to Him and none other. We praise Him and we seek His forgiveness and we ask Him for His mercy. And we testify and we state that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and final messenger. O ye who believe, fear Allah, the fear that He is most deserving of you, and do not die unless you are in the state of al-Islam. And as to what follows, our topic for today has been changed ever so slightly. Brother Hanif just asked me to speak a little bit more general instead of just about the tafsir of the Quran. So we will make the topic for today, inshaAllah, with the title of Ulumul Quran, the sciences of the Quran. And we will focus our attention to five main points. And these are points that must be recognized and understood by every Muslim in order to fulfill his duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to understand the basis of the Quran and its importance to us as believers in the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first important point that we will focus our attention to is the Qur'an is a miracle. I'jazul Qur'an. Understanding that this Qur'an that was given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why it truly is a miracle. We will look at some of the linguistical points. We will look at some of the stories of the Salaf, some of the stories of the Sahaba, and the actions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the words of Allah describing this to us. Thaniyan, we will focus our attention to the important point of Jam'ul Qur'an fil Mushaf al-Imam. How did the Qur'an come together for us to be received, for us to receive it in a single book? What were the steps that brought the Qur'an into book form? Because there is many misconceptions that are being perpetrated by Shi'as and other people against the way the Qur'an was collected. So we will defend and show the truth of what really happened. ثالثاً فضل القرآن وأهله. This is something that can never be overstated or spoken too much of, which is understanding more virtues other than what you heard today from Salatul Jumu'ah, more virtues from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to the Qur'an and the companions of the Qur'an. Number four, حجر الأمة للقرآن, the abandoning of the Ummah of the Qur'an, the ill effects of what has happened to the Ummah, what we are living in today, is a result of the Ummah, this Muslim nation, leaving the Book of Allah. And fifth and finally, العودة إلى كتاب الله, how to return back to the Book of Allah. So let us begin inshaAllah with the first of these important points, which is I'jaz al-Qur'an. The Qur'an is a miracle that was bestowed upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and delivered to us, and that shall be kept until the day of Qiyamah when Allah shall raise it. First, we understand أن القرآن كلام الله منه بدأ وإليه يعود. The Quran is the pronounced and was the spoken word of Allah. It was heard by Jibreel عليه السلام, and he was ordered by Allah to descend upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and to recite to him the first ayah ever recited, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. Until the end of the wahy, with the final ayah descending upon the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concluded the wahy to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying in Surah Al-Baqarah, I think it is verse, it's in 170 somewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ وَلَا تَعَجَلْ بِالْ where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will return to it inshaAllah. It is verse تفضل لا. The last verse that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and fear the day that you shall be returned to Allah عز وجل. This was the last verse revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the end of the wahy and the end of Jibreel alayhi salam descending upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Quran is the word of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His word by saying in Surah Luqman, وَلَوْ أَنَّمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٌ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah says, and if all the trees on the earth were turned into pens, and all of the oceans, the seven oceans, were turned into ink, and they were commanded to write, they would run out before the words of Allah. Kalimatullah. Verily, Allah is the most able and the most wise. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing the beauty of the Quran and it being a miracle, He gives a challenge to mankind. And gives a challenge to the jinn on three different occasions, in three different stages and levels. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ لَئِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say to them, Ya Muhammad, if all of the human beings and jinn came together at one time, working as one body, to bring forth a Qur'an similar to what you have, they will not be able to do it. They could not. So Allah lowered the ante a little. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ صُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. They say to you, Muhammad, you are lying and you have brought this by yourself. One human being. Tell them, all of you gather together and come forth with just 10 surahs. Not the whole Quran, 10 surahs. مِنْ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ. If you have the ability. فَعَجَزُوا. They could not. They did not have the ability. So Allah lowered the ante for them one more time. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ. And if you are indifferent, or you do not believe in what we have sent down to our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring forth one surah, one chapter, produce one surah. وَضْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ, and bring witnesses. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. فإن لم تفعلوا. But if you do not, ولن تفعلوا, and you shall not. Allah is telling him, you will not. ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار. Then fear the fire التي وقودها الناس والحجارة. Whose fuel is human beings and stone. أعدت الكافرين. It is prepared for those who disbelieve in Allah Azza wa Jalla. In order to make you understand the importance of the Quran and its miracle, because we are not, وعليكم السلام, because we do not know, we are not well versed in the Arabic language, so I cannot portray for you ayah by ayah the jars and the ayat. But let us look at the story of one of the greatest Arab poets ever to live, Labib ibn Rabi'ah. He reached such a high level in poetry that the mushrikeen would allow him to paste and to hang his poetry on the walls of the Kaaba. This is how high up they admired him. One day, as he placed the ayat on the Kaaba, a Muslim saw him do it and wrote, as he placed his poetic verses on the Kaaba, a Muslim wrote a few ayats from the Quran and placed it beside his. And Labib ibn Rabi'ah came back and read these verses from the Quran. Listen to what he said. One sentence. Wallahi ma hadha bi shi'r wa inni la min al muslimin. By Allah, this is not poetry, and I bear witness I am a Muslim. Because he knew that this is not from a human. This is not an inspiration from a jinn or a devil. This is from Allah the Most High, the creator of all that exists. This is the same example as Musa with the magician. The miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Quran. And the miracle of Musa alayhi salam was his staff. When he came on the day and Fir'aun gathered all the magicians in the land of Egypt and told them, we will teach Musa a lesson today. فَأَلْقَوْ عَصِيُّهُمْ وَحِبَالُهُمْ. They threw down their sticks and their rope and tried to make magic. And Musa became scared, but Allah told him, throw what is in your hand, your staff. And he threw it. And when the Sahara, when the magician saw that this was the truth and what they had was the batil, immediately, in one second, after defending falsehood, they began to defend Tawheed. Listen to what they said. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. All of the magicians at one time prostrated to Allah. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. We have all believed in the Lord of Harun and Musa. They did not even know Allah's name. We believe in whoever Musa and who sent Harun and Musa. Fir'aun, the arrogant, قال آمنتم له قبل أن آذن لكم. How could you believe in him before I permit you to do so? لأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف ولأصلبنكم في جذوع النخل ولتعلمن أينا أشد عذابا وأبقى. I shall cut your hands and your feet, and I shall crucify you on the highest limbs of the trees, so that you will know that I am more powerful in punishing you than the Lord of Musa. Listen to their answer after having known Allah only for a second, for a moment. قَالُوا لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا. We will not take you instead of our Lord. لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا. تقضي ما أنت قاد. Do whatever you wish. إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا. You shall only end this worldly life. إنا آمنا بربنا. We have believed in our true Lord. ليغفر لنا خطايانا. So that He will forgive us our previous sins. وما أكرهتنا عليه من السحر. And what you used to force upon us to perform magic. So Musa, so they answered Fir'aun in such a way. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا. Listen to the word. Whoever comes to Allah, meets Allah as a mujrim, as a criminal, فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ. You Fir'aun, your place will be Jahannam. لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. You will have neither life nor death. وَمَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُؤْمِنًا. And whoever meets Allah with Iman, وَقَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and he has performed good deeds, فَلَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَى. Then truly they shall have the highest and loftiest levels in the Jannah. This is the same example with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam being sent with the Quran and Musa being sent with his ayah, which was his staff. I give you one more example from the life of the Salaf. Al-Asma'i, who was one of the most poetic and one of the most learned people of the Arabic language, he wrote the book Al-Lugha. He met a Bedouin girl who was reciting poetry. Young girl. فَقَالَ قَاتَلَكِ اللَّهِ مَا أَفْصَحَكِ. Subhanallah, who has given you this ability to be so poetic at such a young age? She answered him by saying, how could you say this to me? Have you not read the verse, one verse in the Quran? And listen to how she answers him at such a young age. A single verse in the Quran where Allah gives two orders and two prohibitions and two glad tidings in a single verse. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. The first order. And we ordered the mother of Moses to breastfeed him. Order number one. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ. And if you become in fear of his life to be taken, then put him in the basket and send him. Order number two. وَلَا تَخَافِي. Have no fear. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. And have no sorrow. Two prohibitions. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكَ. A glad tiding and a bushra. We shall return him to you. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And we shall make him a messenger. In one ayah, in one verse, have you ever heard such poeticness and such understanding in a single sentence? This is the Quran that was given to us in order for it to يقودنا إلى الجنة, so that we may follow it and enter into the Jannah. We move on after having established that the Quran was sent to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was a miracle that was given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to our second point, which is جمع القرآن. How the Quran was brought together in a single volume. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Al-Hijr, إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَى وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily we have descended, we have revealed the dhikr, the remembrance and the reminder, which is the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and surely we shall protect it. This is the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the covenant that Allah has given mankind and given the Muslims, that this Qur'an shall be protected until Allah decrees that it is to be raised before the day of Qiyamah, before the day of resurrection. Let us look at how the Quran was gathered. It was gathered on three different stages. The first stage began at the time of the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana ummiyan, he could not read and write. So he used to bring from his sahaba those whom he chose to write down the verses of the Qur'an as they are revealed to him. فَمِنْ كَتَبَتِ الْوَحْيِ. From these chosen people was Zayd ibn Thabit, Anas ibn Malik, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Uthman ibn Affan, Muawiyah, Ubay ibn Ka'b, and others. They were chosen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to write the verses of the Qur'an. And since we know that the Qur'an كَانَ يَتَنَزَّلُ مُنَجَّمًا, it used to come down عَلَى حَسَبِ الْأَوْقَاتِ, it used to come down at different times and occasions for different reasons. Sometimes it would be because the Rasul was asked a question. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلْ. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قل العفو. يسألونك عن الأهلة قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج. يسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي. يسألونك ماذا ينفقون. يسألك الناس عن الساعة questions given to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would wait for the wahi to descend to answer the people. Other times the Qur'an would come down to dispel fitan that were happening. An example is the Hadithatul Ifk. We all know the story of Aisha when the Munafiqeen lied about her. And the Qur'an came down, and we know in Surah An-Nur, 10 verses came down to dispel what had happened and the lies that were perpetrated by the Munafiqeen against Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So the Qur'an would come down for different reasons. And it would be written down by these people who were chosen by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the first stage. Al-marhalatu thaniya, the second stage, is that the Qur'an, at the time of Abu Bakr, when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the 12th year of Hijrah, there was Ma'arakatul Yamama, the war of Yamama, where the Muslim forces fought against Musaylimah al-Kazzab, who came and said that I am a prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr sent the Muslims to fight them and kill him. And in this battle in Al-Yamama, many of the Huffaz, the memorizers of the Qur'an, were given the rizq, were given sustenance by Allah, where they were martyred fi sabilillah, where they passed on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar ibn al-Khattab, and we all know who Umar radiallahu anhu was. This is, if we were to talk about Umar, we would sit here for ages. Umar, just the word, it makes you scared. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he came to Abu Bakr when he was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he told him, Ya Aba Bakr, ijma' al-Qur'an fi mushafin wahid. Abu Bakr, it is my opinion that you should order that the Qur'an be gathered in a single volume. In the beginning, Abu Bakr, and this is narrated to us in Sahih al-Bukhari, and you can return to this inshaAllah, Abu Bakr did not wish to do so, because he feared that he would be doing something that was not instituted by the Messenger. But Abu Bakr says, وَمَا زَالَ عُمَرْ يُرَاجِعُنِي فِي أَمْرِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي جَمْعِ الْقُرْآنِ حَتَّى شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرِي. And Umar kept on coming to me and telling me, Abu Bakr, gather it before it becomes lost and the people pass away and we will not be able to gather it, Ya Abu Bakr. Until Abu Bakr says, until Allah opened my chest to see the truth and I ordered that the Qur'an be gathered. He brought Zayd ibn Thabit and he told him, Ya Zayd, innaka rajulun shabun aqilun la nattahimuk. Listen to the tazkiyah of Abu Bakr. Ya Zayd, you're a man. A man, not like men, not like the men we see today. You are a man. Shab, you are still in your youth, you have a good memory. Aqil, intelligent. And no one has ever accused you of any wrong. وَلَقَدْ كُنْتَ تَكْتُبُ الْوَحْيَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you used to be from those who wrote the revelation for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it was revealed to him by Jibreel. فَاجْمَعِ الْقُرْآنَ فِي مُصْحَفٍ وَاحِدٍ. I order you today to gather the Qur'an in a single book. Zayd says, وَاللَّهِ, he makes qasam, by Allah, لو أمروني أن أنقل جبلا من الجبال ما كان أثقل علي من جمع القرآن. Wallahi, if they ordered me to move a whole mountain, it would not have been heavier a task than gathering the Quran in a single volume. For he had to go to the original manuscript where the Muslims had written down the Quran on bark, on soft pieces of stone, on leather, on hide, on tree branches. And he gathered it from all these places and made a single mushaf. And this was given to Abu Bakr to hold and to keep in case copies were needed to be made. And then Umar, after Abu Bakr's death radiallahu anhu, was given this book. And then after the death of Umar radiallahu anhu, this book was given to Hafsa, the daughter of Umar radiallahu anha wa ardaha. This is the end of the second marhala. The third marhala, the final third stage of the Qur'an being gathered, was at the time when Uthman radiallahu anhu wa ardah was Khalifatul Mu'mineen. Uthman radiallahu anhu received a visit from Hudhayfa. We all know who Hudhayfa is. And he told him, Ya Uthman, Hudhayfa coming, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, أدرك الأمة. Save the Ummah. أدرك الأمة قبل أن تختلف في كتاب الله اختلاف اليهود والنصارى في كتبهم. Save the Ummah before they begin to disagree in the words of Allah like the way the Jews and the Christians have done. Why did Hudhayfa say this? Because when he was fighting jihad in Armenia and in Azerbaijan, in the far reaches of the Muslim world, he saw that people were beginning, and this narration is found in Sahih al-Bukhari also, people were beginning to disagree with one another in regards to the recitation of the Qur'an. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he says in Fath al-Bari, explaining this hadith, he says it came to the point that people were calling one another kafir. So he came to Amir al-Mu'mineen and told him, catch it, hurry up, save the Ummah. So Uthman borrowed, he did not take the books from Hafsa. He borrowed the books and returned them to her again from Hafsa. And he ordered Zayd once again to make many manuscripts and copies. And he sent to every Muslim city a binger copy, a copy of the Qur'an. And he ordered that any copy of the Qur'an that was indifferent to this, to be burned. And with this Uthman ibn Affan saved the Ummah. Imagine today, Ya Abdullah, many of us sitting here do not speak Arabic. Imagine now the Qur'an is to be recited by each and every one of us. Without knowing the actual ahkam. And although we know that the Qur'an can be recited on the seven qira'at, for instance, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who lived in Iraq, he used to recite one way, which was taught to him by Rasulullah. While Ubay ibn Ka'b, who lived in Damascus, recited another way, who was also taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An example, so you may understand what I mean. Surah Al-Fatiha, we all know Surah Al-Fatiha. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is how most of us recite, all of us. غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. You can recite it, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهُمْ. Not عَلَيْهِمْ. This is the qira'ah of another, of a different way. You can also recite it, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمُ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. And people, subhanAllah, one person who is traveling coming for Hajj, another coming from Damascus, they hear each other and they're going to get in a fight. And this even happened at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narration from Umar found in Sahih al-Bukhari, where he said, I was praying behind a person and he was reciting Surah al-Furqan in a way that I had not learned it from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Umar, as I said, I told you, Umar, his name, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he goes, I have to hold myself back in salah, not to lunge at this brother, not to take him out. Fighting himself back, not to snatch this brother. And after the salah, he goes, I gripped him, I held him. Wallahi la'arfa'annaka ila Rasulillah. Wallahi, you are coming with me this instant, dragging him to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Rasul, seeing Umar in such a way, he told him, Mahlan ya Umar, ease it ya Umar. What is the problem? He said, he is reciting Surah Al-Furqan in a way you did not teach me. He told Umar, recite, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar recited in the way he was taught. And he told the other person, recite in the way you were taught. And then he said, هَكَذَا نَزَلْ وَهَكَذَا نَزَلْ. In such a way it was recited and in such a way it was revealed also. So this is something that Uthman saved the Ummah by making a single Mus'haf, Mus'haf al-Uthmani, so that we would all not disagree with one another on the basics of the Qur'an. On the basics of the Qur'an. Now we move on to the third of our points, which is Fadl al-Qur'an wa ahlih, the blessings of reciting the Qur'an and those of the companions of the Qur'an. الله سبحانه وتعالى سد لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا. If this Quran was to be revealed to a mountain, and the word revealed means that this, it means that if we were to place the duty of upholding the Quran's tenets and laws to a mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, you would see that this Quran is shaking and crumbling and trembling from the fear of Allah. Do not be surprised that a mountain is in fear of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, أَلَمْ تَرَى, do you not see, do you not understand, do you not know, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that to Allah prostrate and make sujood all that is in the heavens and the earth, والشمس, the sun, والقمر, and the moon, والنجوم, and the stars, والجبال, and the mountains, prostrate to Allah, والشجر والدواب, and the trees and the animals, وكثير من الناس, and many of mankind prostrate to Allah also, وكثير حق عليه العذاب, equally still there is many of mankind that is deserving of punishment for not prostrating to Allah. وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ, and whomever Allah gives this honor, none can honor him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, Allah does as He will. If this Quran was to be revealed to a mountain, you will physically see the mountain shake and tremble and crumble from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the value of the Qur'an. It is not something that is a toy that we play with one another with. Okay, it's your turn, Yaqi, you recite, as I've seen in different places. People take it, it is as if it is a joke. People take the Qur'an very lightly. And Allah has described this disease in the Qur'an by saying in Surah Al-Anbiya, اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون ما يأتيهم من ربهم من آية ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون لاهية قلوبهم. اقترب للناس حسابهم, surely the time of people to be taken account has come, it is soon to come. وهم في غفلة, but they are in a state of heedlessness, neglectfulness, forgetfulness, mu'aridun, turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never will a verse come down to them or be recited to them and they hear it, except when they hear it or when they are taught it, they are in a state of play and amusement, because their hearts are preoccupied with evil. Lahiyatan qulubuhum. So this is a disease that is in the ummah. The people take lightly the Qur'an, while Allah says that the mountain would shake and tremble and crumble from its fear. Also, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مُنْ مُدَّكِرٍ, surely we have made the Qur'an easy for people to memorize and to understand. But who is the one that wishes to? Who is the one that wishes to learn the Qur'an? Who is the one that wishes to make the effort consistently on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis to put his effort in order to benefit himself and his family in the dunya and in the akhirah? In the dunya and in the akhirah. Do not think that Allah only benefits you in the dunya by giving you wealth or making your way easy. This is actually a more difficult ibtila, test by Allah, than to have everything hard against you. Listen to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, when they forgot what they were ordered to be reminded of and remember, the verses that they were ordered to remember, when they forgot it, disobeyed Allah, we opened to them the doors of all goodness. Allah gave them everything they wished. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا, until they were in the middle of their enjoyment and happiness, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً, we snatched them and we gave them and took them into the pain and punishment. And the Rasul ﷺ says, إذا رأيت الله يعطي العبد ما يحب وهو مقيم على معصية فاعلم بأنه استدراج له من الله. والحديث في صحيح الجامع وهو صحيح. If you see that Allah gives one of his servants everything that he asks for, while you know with certainty that this person is committing sins, yet Allah gives him all that he wants, know that this is Allah slowly bringing him to trial. Slowly bringing him to trial. Do not think that the easier it is, the more pleased Allah is with you. This is why the ulama, salafan wa khalafan, in the past and the present, they still say, al-ibtila'u bil-na'imi ashaddu min al-ibtila'i bil-diqi wal-faqr. To be tested by being given goodness and happiness and content is a harder test than to be tested by having these things taken away from you and living in hardship. It is a harder test. Because you see everything around you and you say, MashaAllah, Allah truly is happy for me. I got a new car, my wife, an office, everything I need. But this is Allah bringing you to test slowly. Illa man rahim Allah, except whom Allah has given mercy. So the Quran should not be made into a joke, it should not be taken easy, it should be something that is to be taught and learned and implemented by all of us. Also, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, describing that Allah has chosen people on the face of the earth. And the hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and in the Sunan of Imam al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, and it's sahahahu al-Albani, hafidahullah, where the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that Allah has chosen from this earth a group of people. The Sahaba said, من هم يا رسول الله؟ قال هم أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصته. The people of the Quran are the chosen people of Allah. So we should strive to be from the people of the Quran, because in being so, you are from those who are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We move on so that we do not take too much of your time, inshaAllah, to the fourth point, which is حجر الأمة للقرآن. How has the Ummah abandoned the Quran? I will give you three quick examples, inshaAllah. The first is حجر استماع القرآن. The Muslim Ummah has abandoned even listening, I won't say reading, listening to the Quran. And this, you will find it, is a root in all the problems that you will find in your household life. The Qur'an is not recited in the home. If you cannot recite, play a tape of the Qur'an. Listen to the Qur'an. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the hadith narrated by the Imam Muslim, مَثَلُ الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي يُذْكَرُ فِيهِ اللَّهِ وَالْبَيْتِ الَّذِي لَا يُذْكَرُ فِيهِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The example of the house where Allah is remembered and the house where Allah is not remembered is the example of the living compared to the dead. The Rasulullah ﷺ says, do not make your home into graveyards. Pray and recite the Quran in them. Pray your salawatul nafli, your salatul sunnah in your home. Bring the Quran back into your life and in your household. Another form of abandoning the Quran, حجر الأمة لتدبر القرآن. Trying to understand the Quran, many of the Ummah have abandoned even trying to understand what the Quran is saying. If they listen, they do not listen to what it truly is saying. They will come together, for instance, when a person dies, and you will find people who may not have entered the masjid for 3 years, not even for Ramadan or Eid. They will come to the masjid when they hear such and such a person dies, and they will sit in the masjid and they will read Quran, or they will listen to the Quran. And some of them, وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ, you will see them not have wudu. The person will pass wind right beside you, and he's in the masjid, and salah comes, he just stands up. He's gonna go all the way and make wudu. Why? Because it's a way of showing people And if he recites, he's not reciting for himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّ وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. This Quran, it was sent to bring, لِيُنذِر, to bring a warning to those who are living. To bring a warning to those who are living. And to place and establish the proof against the disbelievers. This is the reason for the Quran, as is said in Surah Yasin. So people do not wish to understand the Quran, while Allah said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not try to understand the Quran? أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or are on their hearts, or are their hearts locked up? Do not even want to listen or hear or understand the Quran. Another way of the Ummah leaving off the Quran and abandoning it is not enforcing the Sharia. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Truly judgment should only be done in accordance to what Allah has ordered. Amr, Allah has ordered, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ. He has ordered you something very light, that you worship none other than Him. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. Surely this is the most upright and straight way of life and religion. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But yet many of mankind do not understand or wish to. So these are the ways that the Ummah has began to let the Qur'an pass away and abandon. After having heard this, let us move to our fifth point, which is how can we return to the Qur'an? How can we return to the Qur'an? From the ways that we are to return to the Qur'an is to show our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing our ibadat with ikhlas. For the Qur'an, it is not something that you can just, it's an acquired taste, wa rabbi al-ka'ba. Wallahi, it is something that not everyone can enjoy. I am telling you, wallahi, if the mushrikeen truly knew what a Muslim's love for the Qur'an should be, they would fight us for this love that we have for the Qur'an. If the mushrikeen knew how much we should, I won't say how much we do love, how much we should love the Qur'an, they would try to take this love of the Qur'an out of our hearts because of their evil. The Qur'an, it is something that we must love. And this is to be implemented by loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah asks you for very little. وَمَا أُمِرُوا. And they have not been ordered more than وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ. They were not ordered for anything more than to worship Allah with ikhlas, with sincerity. Hunafa, making the religion solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also by implementing your love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a sure way of Allah bringing you back and entering you into the fold of Ahlul Quran. And I will conclude by giving you an example of what it means to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he narrates to us in the tafsir of the ayat in Surah Al-Hujurat, the first ayah, the first two ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O ye who believe, do not be forward in front of Allah or His Messenger's orders. And fear Allah, for Allah is all hearing and knowing of what you do. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. O ye who believe, do not even raise your voice an octave, or a decibel, or a degree above the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. And do not speak to him as you speak to one another in your rude manner. But be polite with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْمَلَمُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. For if you do this, if you raise your voice above the voice of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah shall remove from you all of your good deeds. All of your good deeds shall be nullified because you raised your voice above the voice of Rasulullah. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, listen to the fiqh of Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim. He says, إِن كَانَ رَفْعُ الصَّوْتِ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ يُحْبِطُ الْعَمَلِ فكيف بمن قدم عقله وفكره على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. If just to raise your voice above the voice of Rasulullah will be rewarded by Allah taking away all of your good deeds, then how is it for a person who places his own thoughts and ideas and actions before the orders and the action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And these are the words I leave you with today. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us here in His remembrance, to gather us all once again in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.